family in the military at that point?
My brother, yeah.
So while you were in the early days when you were working at Lockheed?
No, I don't know. He might have been down at... No, not then. Not in my early days at Lockheed. He was down at a shipyard.
Mm-hmm. When did your mother start working there?
Probably 43 or 44. I'm not sure. 43, I think.
Now, so it sounds like, given the... that maybe the first almost 9 months to a year then, you went from first on the drill jig to riveting, then to the instruction program, then to inspection.
Yeah, right.
Within, would you say, about...
Within a year, I'm
within
sure.
A year.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you recall the pay increase when you became
considerable.
A riveter, when you became an inspector then?
It was considerable, I believe, considering everything. I'm not... A considerable meaning if you got a, in those days they gave you a 3 cent or a 5 cent raise,
mm-hmm.
so that I don't remember what it was. I have no recollection what they were paying at that time.
Do you recall being approached by the union and learning anything about the union in that early period when you were?
I thought we all had to belong, actually. I see. I don't know if I thought we had to. I don't know if I thought we had to belong to the union, or if Jimmy said that Jimmy and my husband had made friends, we saw after we came around, hung around with them, and I don't know where I got the notion to join the union, but I did. I was a member of the union, and the union was really quite active. I was still a Republican, and thought that the bosses were your friends and good to you, and I really thought the union was just kind of awful because my dad did, and I was still brainwashed with the feeling the unions were trying to get something for these nice bosses that were good enough to hire all these people. I'm sure that was my, and out there I began to get a different version. I began to get a very different feeling about unions while I worked at Lockheed. Maybe they were for the good of, that they were, that they had something to say,
mm-hmm.
and that it was important that we have them, that otherwise, you really would, an individual worker didn't really stand much of a chance against,
mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I became, somewhere along the line, I became the shop steward for a short while in one of the apartments I was in.
This is before you were in inspection then?
No, this was later on.
And do you recall ever going to a union meeting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
I didn't like it. It seemed to me that they, whatever they were trying to get through, to have passed, something that theoretically we were voting on, but if you were against it, you didn't stand a chance. And somebody, certainly not I, raised his hand and started to talk on the other side, and they screamed, shut up, sit down. And these are the guys from the podium. Where
mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that it was, it reaffirmed everything negative I'd ever heard about unions. That if they just steamrolled whatever they wanted, that's what it was going to be. And there was no real dissent. That I didn't feel that they were, I didn't get the feeling that the bosses were, in the union, were representing the people any more than the bosses at Lockheed were representing us. I thought they were representing themselves
mm-hmm.
and what they wanted.
Did you go to more than that?
No, just the one. I didn't like it, yeah.
Do you recall other women at the meeting?
I probably went with Floyd or with somebody because I doubt that I would have gone alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was that?
That was the woman who, that couldn't have been she because then I wasn't that into. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I might have gone with Jimmy. I don't remember
mm-hmm.
anything about it. I just remember being there and thinking, Lord, this is not a good situation either.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven knows we need a union, I think, to represent people, but I didn't get the feeling that they were representing what the people really had in mind.
But you maintained your membership in it.
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I think we had to. I'm not sure. I do believe we had to belong to the union in those days.
There was something that was called maintenance of membership agreement in those days. And you would join, and then you could drop it. But for the most part, I think people didn't. Because it wasn't allowed to be closed shop.
It wasn't?
Mm-mm. So it was under this maintenance of membership. When one signed on, you joined, and basically
the membership
was maintained.
I think all the stuff was there, and I think it was just something else that I filled in. Yeah. I really think that I just got into the union without
rather than
planning
anyone
to,
basically approaching you.
I think it was just, I think the material was just there, and I signed it, and along with everything else.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like during this period, up until this point, when you're still the inspector, that you are basically working much more on your own and somewhat separate from other people.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Do you recall anything about the other, either the work setup or the other workers in terms of the proportion of women, if there were any minority women at all, that sort of thing?
I don't remember, no. I know there were still more men than women.
Mm-hmm.
And in inspection, I was the only woman inspector they had there at the time, at least in interim jigs. I was the only one doing that kind of thing at that particular time.
Do you recall having any special feelings about that?
Yes, I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it.
Did you ever feel in any way put upon being the only woman in that part of the inspection area?
I didn't think I got that impression, not as an inspector. I think, I'm sure there were, when I first started, I know there were, I'm sure there were negative reactions from a lot of the men. But actually, the supervisor was cordial, and my boss, the inspecting group leader, was cordial, welcoming. So I think I think there was probably more hostility than I was aware of. I just sort of didn't expect it. I remember not, not expecting them to object, so I'm sure I didn't see a lot of the objections that may well have been there that I just wasn't aware of.
And do you recall feeling sexual harassment on any of those jobs?
Certainly, now I'm sure in those days I didn't think of it as sexual harassment. Now I can see that it was. Just the comments and the sort of thing that just in those days was part of being on the job.
So you don't recall being annoyed by it?
No, I don't recall being
annoyed. Or talking to other women about it?
No. That's what it was to be a woman in 30 years ago.
And today, too.
Yeah.
Except that now we say something.
Yeah, I mean, then it just never, I don't think we thought that it could be any different.
Mm-hmm. Then your next, during this period, were you working a six-day week then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, always from the time I worked at Lockheed. Very seldom ever worked I don't think ever. Well, we hired on as just 6 days.
Well, I'll see you Thursday.
All righty.
All right. Have a good week.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
Do you recall how much overtime work you did?
Always 6 days. Always the 6 day was overtime. I don't think overtime they had to get special permission to get women to work overtime, and during part of the time after they had to get a special permission to let women work overtime. There was blanket permission to let us work 6 days. And in order to protect women, I remember down in the shop that you couldn't carry more than, say, 10 pounds up steps, and you couldn't lift more than 20 pounds. That sometimes you'd hear a gripe from a guy about that. I really was unaware of a lot of the complaining that I'm sure did go on.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any other safety measures or things that made work easier, for instance, mats to stand on when you were still riveting?
Oh, no. No, we couldn't because, we were up and down the stairs and up and down and down. So we didn't want to do that. And there were certainly chairs or the edge of the jig to sit on. We had chairs to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we didn't.
Now, did anything change in terms of the working conditions as you went into inspection?
Well, there was more inspection had more status and more money and more freedom of movement. When you're riveting a tailphone, for instance, you're right there, invisible, and you're better if you're not there doing your particular little riveting task. You know, somebody would certainly want to know why not. And each job that I got a little more freedom. I thought, because, you know, for instance, the inspectors who wanted to find ways to slough off could go in and just, you know, could always be somewhere else, you know, some up on one of the other things. People, it was much easier for people who wanted to slough off to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't want to slough off. You know, I thought it was important that we all do what we should.
What was your sense of your relationship to the production process and the war effort?
I thought when I was in production, I thought it was my job to do the best job I possibly could to be sure that it was done right, and therefore an inspection, I thought the same thing. Although if there's any possible hazard, it should be done over, if not, you know, the whole damn wing had to be scrapped. And one time the whole wing was scrapped, because it was just had a whole bunch of sloppy workmanship. And it's just not fair to send people up in unsafe airplanes, I don't think.
Now, did you have any sort of relationship with any military inspectors, too, or not that early in the inspection process?
No.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of the presence of the military inspectors and the military men in the plant?
Not much. We didn't have many, and they were not, you know, involved really with the production. I'm sure that they must have been involved with our bosses, but I certainly didn't affect me in any way.
Which building were you in?
The one that's A1, the one in on Hollywood Way. You know where Hollywood Way and Van Nuys.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was. I was there all during. I did all my work there except when I went back in 1956, I think it was, and I went back for a while to Lockheed. Then I was over at B1, the other one.
But all during the war years, you were in
A1. Yeah, I was A1, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your husband was in A1 also?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so he went into the service.
Mm-hmm. Now, what, can you describe him a little bit more and tell me a little bit about your relationship?
Mm-hmm. He was, let's see, how can I describe Jimmy? Full of laughs, in many ways, a dilettante. He's an artist in that he liked to paint pictures and that sort of thing. He was never employed as an artist, really. Of course, people weren't being employed, you know, really, it was really hard times, believe me, before the war started, before we began gearing up for the war. He was a very heavy drinker, certainly became an alcoholic.
Did he resume drinking right after
marriage?
Oh, yeah,
right. Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And would he be drinking during the daytime? Would he?
Oh, no. But he drank weekends, but I don't remember whether he... It's funny that I can't recall our evenings, isn't it? I've just blacked out the evening. But I know on weekends he drank, and he went out every Saturday night. I got Jeffrey and had Jeffrey for Saturday night and until Sunday when it was time for him to go to bed. But Jimmy would go out, and sometimes he didn't get back till Sunday, you know. It was a very odd marriage right from the very start, and I don't know how I got off on such a wrong foot. But he loved to go dancing, and he just went dancing. He went out every damn Saturday night.
But so you didn't go together, though?
No. I never did really learn to dance much, and it was the only chance I had to see Jeff, too.
How did you feel about his going out without you?
When I could see that I couldn't do anything about it, it was one thing at least I learned to accept. I just accept that. Well, you know, I thought, you know, he didn't really want to sit around and enjoy the get a babysitter for my little boy the only night I see him? No. So he didn't want to sit there the other night. He had off. I could see that. I was sorry that he didn't, but or if we had all done something together and then maybe had a babysitter and gone to a movie later on. I don't know what, but how to work. Anyway, it was obvious that it was not going to work out any differently. So it actually it really bothered me less than I, as I look back now, I wonder why in the world I ever put up with.
So you did, what would you do on Sunday, for instance? How would you spend your Sundays?
I don't know, probably, I don't know, I don't recall. I just don't remember.
Now, how do you recall how you felt about having your son in the boarding home?
Well, I hated it, of course. But it was he was safe, and that, you know, I knew that nothing was going to, no harm was going to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who was, the woman I knew who cooked there was, you know, a friendly face. And then the woman who was in charge of the little kids, Miss Hinton, was just super, you know.
Mm.
Could not have found someone more capable of taking care of him than she.
How many of the younger children were there?
Well, nobody as young as Jeff, because actually the woman I knew said, just don't say. She said, if he's less than three, you know, he's close to three, well, he, you know, he's almost, he will be three. But she said Miss Jeanette wouldn't want to know. Miss Jeanette would be very happy to have Jeff, but she didn't want to know that he was less than three. And he acted three, you know, and all that, so he was kind of big for his age.
What was the setup like, Glad? Was it a private home?
Yeah, well, it was a large, a very large house, and it had, you know, rooms for the children, and I don't remember how many boarding children they had, how many day children they had, but they had quite a few because many other people were in the same situation I was in. And the Jeff, of course, was too little to go to school, but they had like a nursery school. They had a yard in the back, and Miss Hinton was in charge of the younger children, the little kids, little preschoolers like Jeff.
Do you recall what the cost was
from
that?
I remember when I went to $60 a month, and it was hard, you know, to pay, but it was worth it, you know, because I knew where he was. No, I remember then she wanted to change it. It was either 90 or 100 she was going to raise it to.
And at that point, what would your salary have been?
I don't know. I don't remember the comparison, but I know that for a long time I paid $60 a month, and that was, I guess it was. When she was saying she was going to raise it higher than that, I'm not sure what she was going to raise it to. But in those days, the costs kept going up. Similar to now, you know, quite so fast, I suppose. But her costs went up. And so, actually, when she was going to raise it again, by then, Jeffrey was 4 years old. And I was able to, I took him to the child care center.
Oh, so
the
that,
child care center.
That would have been probably
44.
And what, were you still working as an inspector at that point then?
No, I was gone into something else by then.
Tell me a little bit more about the child care center, and then we can go back to the
work. The child care center. It was out at Washington School in Burbank. And that was for the preschool children. You could bring the kids there before 7. They gave them breakfast, and they gave them their vitamins to later on during the day. But when we brought them in, the table would be set up, you know, and the oranges would be all ready, and they'd, you know, make a, you know, it was nice. The kids liked to go there, and they had a good breakfast. And they had the cooked lunch, too, the hot lunch, too, so it was really a big relief when they started, when they had those. And when Jeff, I asked Jeff's doctor, and he was old enough. I think he was, no, he was not four. He was still, he was three. What am I saying? No, he's three, because Miss Jeanette decided that everybody there had to go to school. And here was this little three-year-old sitting down to learn to read. Afterwards, I thought, you know, too bad I didn't let him. But at that time I said, no, you're just too little to be asked to sit down and learn to read and to do chores. That's when he was. He was still 3 years old when he went to the childcare center, the daycare center.
Now, how did you learn about it?
I think through, they had, by then, counselors at Lockheed.
And do you recall what that process was like?
Yeah, going in to see the counselor, telling her what the problem was, and she was supposed to have, before she had found two different places, when Miss Jeanette said that he couldn't stay there unless he was going to go to school. She found two different places for me to take Jeffrey, just to go on a boarding basis. And at both of them, he cried when I went for him after the first week, and so I didn't take him back.
Were those in...
In Los Angeles in somewhere, Los Angeles. Somewhere uh-huh. Hollywood or uh-huh. Los Angeles somewhere. And, you know, I decided that he must not have liked it or he wouldn't have cried.
Did you have reservations about the child care center?
Yes, because it was getting him up so early in the morning. See, it was getting him, I mean, he was already up. He got up at 6 o'clock. But getting him up and dressing him and taking him out of the house, no matter how he felt, you know. And I just thought, not only for him, because his pediatrician thought it was not a good idea. She didn't know a damn thing about it. Now I know. Later on, I thought he really didn't know a damn thing about it. It just on the top of his head, I'm mm-hmm. sure. He said, no, it wouldn't be good for a little boy that age to be taken out. And afterwards, when I saw how well it went, I said, he could have been doing this for a long time, you know, and solving a lot of problems for us, really.
Now, so it sounds like you were pleased with the setup once he went to the child care.
Yes, very pleased. Very pleased. It was, you know, we'd get up, and he always got up at 6 o'clock anyway. So, you know, I'd give him whatever, a glass of milk or whatever at home, and get him dressed, you know, and take him out, leave him there, and make a little bit.
And how close to Lockheed was the center?
Probably 2 miles, 3 miles from mm-hmm. there. It was the school in Burbank, which is over very close, actually, to Lockheed A1.
Mm.
So probably no more than 2 miles.
And what was the facility like, the child care center itself?
It was a little little building, and with a good play yard, a lot of toys inside, and a little tables that the kids would sit down and their breakfast and their lunch, and after breakfast they had their breakfast and they took a nap. They had mats. I think we provided little blankets or something like that for them, and then they'd lie down, take a little nap, and then get up and have their juice and all that stuff, and play until lunchtime, and eat their lunch, take a little nap, and play until their parents came and picked them up.
And then you would pick them up when mm-hmm. you came
yeah.
off your shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After, let's see, after, I don't know how long I was in inspection, I was trying to think, and I really have no recollection mm-hmm. of how long that went on, the inner wing jigs. Then Jimmy heard about these engineering, science, and management war training courses, they were called, ESMWTs. There were going to be, there was going to be one, Lockheed was going to participate in one, and along with UC, University of California, and they were going to hold the classes down here where Green's department store is in Burbank on Hollywood Way and Magnolia. Or, not Hollywood Way probably, but Magnolia Boulevard, close to Hollywood Way. And he thought that would be just splendid for me because what they were going to teach was tool design and tool planning. The only hang-up was it was only 5 day a week, so it would be quite a big cut in pay for me at the time. But I talked it over with a wise head in the inspection department, and he said any time you get paid to go to school, you'd be foolish not to. So I decided to do it. And The course, I mean, I applied for it, and they agreed to let me do go. So there were...
Did many other women apply?
No, there were still a lot more men than women in it. These were men who were able to get a deferment or maybe, you know, I don't know what, 4X or whatever, able to get a referment. But this was to actually to fill in, not the tool design at Lockheed, but the tool planning, which is a department in which all the tooling is planned, and actually the whole, planes get translated from blueprints to airplanes flying away. And ordinarily, planners were men who had worked here around 10 years and came up, actually they came up through the tooling department. So they understood the tool die makers, uh-huh. template makers, mm-hmm. people like that who really knew how tools can be made, because, you know, you can fantasize a lot, but a lot of things can't be done mm-hmm. the way you might think so. So I thought it was very, it was really something really interesting to learn. Some metallurgy was involved. And certainly blueprint reading was taught by teaching you to draw blueprints, which was a lot of fun. That they said that was really, you know, the only way to learn is to do them. I thought that was just a splendid idea, because I always wanted to learn anyway.
What were you told about the course in terms of how long it would
it was,
be?
It was 3 months. It was 3 months full time. So that it was, 40 hours a week for 12 weeks. 480 hours, I guess. 4,800 hours that we put in on the job.
And were people in the class all from Lockheed, or were
yeah.
they from various
places? No, these were all from Lockheed, yeah. This was one that Lockheed was sponsoring.
Mm-hmm.
And they were people that Lockheed had chosen to, and I think there may have been probably 30 of us probably mm-hmm. involved, maybe a few more than that. And it was lectures about manufacturing, lectures about each machine, each, like, oh dear, excuse me. Punch presses, the Garand process on the hydro press. I think he forgot to turn in. No, it's okay. I was feeling a little ill.
Would you like to stop?